So we've been speaking a little bit about Matnas Aniyim, and we're speaking about the first week we had a bit of an introduction. We've been speaking about the individual Matnas Aniyim. Peya, Leket, Shitha, Lelo, some of the different Matnas Aniyim and what exactly they are. And with each some of them, we tried to speak about some of the lumdas that emerges about them. I want to speak tonight about a very, very basic question. It's a basic question that I think we have to discuss a little bit, which is, well, who's actually considered an Ani? In Manos Aniyim, so who's considered to be a poor person? What we're going to try to do is speak about some basic halachas, but who's considered to be an Ani in regards to Leket, Shicha, and Peya, the Manos Aniyim. We're then going to try to speak a little bit about, there are a variety of contexts in halacha where halachas are dependent on someone being an Ani, and we'll speak about, is there one definition of Ani in different areas of Torah? And then we'll try to share just a little bit of lumdus, hopefully, about what's behind some of those questions. So let's start as follows. The Mishnah tells Maseches Peya in Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches, that when it comes to Leket Shicha and Peya, the opening shear is, how much do I have to have? Misha Yeshlo Ma'asayim Zuz. If you have 200 Zuz, Lo Yitol Leket Shicha Upeya Umaiser Ani. If you have 200 Zuz, you're not allowed to take any of the Manos Aniyim, and we're including here not just Leket Shicha and Peya, but also Maiser Ani. On the years when there is no Maiser Sheni, tear to my eye. On the years when there's no Meiser Sheni, we offer Meiser Ani. And there also, the Ani, anyone that has 200 Zuz is not considered to be an Ani. If you have less than 200 Zuz, says the Mishnah, Hayulo Ma'asayim Chaser Dinar, so then you can even take significantly more. So as long as I'm in and I'm called an Ani, I'm allowed to take a few Elef Nostin Lo Ka'achas Hareza Yitol. Once I'm in, I can't just an Ani, I'm allowed to take significantly more in that one shot. But I'm considered to be an Ani if I don't have Ma'asayim Zuz. The Mishnah says, let's say I have Ma'asayim Zuz, but it's set aside as collateral for money I borrowed, or it's set aside for my wife for her ksuva, then I'm still considered to be poor. I'm still considered to be poor. How do we calculate the Ma'asayim Zuz? So one thing the Mishnah tells us, the Rambam, looking at the Rambam, it's a little bit more complicated than this, but says the Mishnah, Ein Mechayv Enosho Limchor Es Beiso Ves Klei Tashmisho. We don't force you to sell all of like your home and all the kalim that you use in order to be able to get Ma'asayim Zuz. Even if I could theoretically sell my kalim and I could eat off plastic or eat off of one plate, I don't have to sell all those things. You don't have Ma'asayim Zuz, that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to sell all of your produce. You don't have to sell, all of your kalim. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Dal, Halacha Yud Dalet, the Rambam does qualify that a little bit. It depends what kind of kalim it is, if it's for klei achila or other kinds of kalim, but fundamentally that's how I define 200 zuz. Okay. This halacha that if I have 200 zuz, I'm no longer allowed to collect from Leket, Shicha, and Peya, is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So, pashtus, it's a din d'rabbanan. Rav Avidan and his sefer, Ahavas Tzedakah, points out that there is a Meshech Chachma in Parshas Re'eh. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Re'eh tries to derive from a pasuk that the shear is 200 zuz. Sounds like Meshech Chachma thinks maybe in fact it is a din d'oraisa. Rabbi Dan points out, if you read Meshech Chachma, it could be he's just telling you there's a remez in the pasuk. He's not telling you it's mamish d'oraisa, he's telling you there's a remez in the pasuk. And the remez in the pasuk is that 200 zuz, but pashtus, the assumption of most, we've shown him in Achronim, is that we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan. The Rash in Meseches Peya seems to refer to it as a din d'rabbanan, and the one sheet that's most explicit, it's a din d'rabbanan, is the Kiryat Sefer. The Kiryat Sefer is the Mabit's commentary on the Rambam. The Kiryat Sefer, in source number 3 on the sheet, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Tes, thinks that it's only considered to be a din d'rabbanan of Ma'asayim Zuz. Well, what exactly is the din d'oraisa? If it's din d'rabbanan, so min ha-Torah, who's allowed to collect Leket, Shicha, and Peya? So Chaim Knievsky in the Derech Amunah, as well as in the Shaar HaTzion there in Derech Amunah, notes that there may be two ways to understand what it means if it's a din d'oraisa. One way to understand what it means is that the Rabbanan were more machmir. Mida oraisa, you could take kol tzarcha. Mida oraisa, you could take anything that you need. Even if you already have Ma'asayim Zuz, you could take much, much more if that's what you want. The Rabbanan said, though, you know what? Even though min haTorah you could take as much as you need, that's inappropriate. And as long as you have Ma'asayim Zuz, it's really wrong for you to take Matnos Aniyim. In that sense, the Rabbanan are more machmir than the din d'oraisa. That's one suggestion of how to read the Kiryat Sefer in Reb Chaim Knievsky. Chaim Knievsky says, though, but some people point out that maybe that really the Kiryat Sefer means something else. Maybe the Rabbanan are mekel. Min HaTorah, maybe you could argue that Min HaTorah, you could really, Chaim Kanievsky, that Min HaTorah, you should only be able to take what you actually need right now, in this very, very moment. And that's all you should take. The Rabbanan were Mekel, and the Rabbanan said, no, you could take even Masayim Zuz. You could take even Masayim Zuz. So we have to follow this is halacha, that who's considered to be an ani for like a shicha peya meiser ani. If you own Masayim Zuz, you can't take. Is that a din deraisa, din derabanan? Meshechach, maybe it's din deraisa. Kiryas Sefer, it's a din derabanan. Min haTorah then, who's allowed to take? Maybe the Torah is very makel. Take whatever you need, it's all good. The Rabbanan, they limited it and said, if you have Masayim Zuz, you really shouldn't be taking. Or alternatively, maybe Min haTorah, you can only take what you need right now. But Masayim Zuz, you don't need Masayim Zuz right now. And so you don't need that much right now, so only take a little bit. And Chazal said, no, if you don't have Masayim Zuz, you can even take significantly more. What is the shear of Masayim Zuz? Where does the shear of Masayim Zuz come from? So the Rosh in Maseches Peah there seems to assume, as do others, that end of the day, it could be that Masayim Zuz is the amount that a person needs to get by for a year. The amount that a person needs to get by for a year. The way that some explain it is that the assumption is that next year there will also be Manos Aniyim. So take what you need for this year, and next year you'll get a new Manos Aniyim, but that's the amount that you would need for a year. Rav Avidan quotes also a tshuva of the Rashbash, Reish Shin Beis Shin, as holding, again, it's Stam, good to know, that the shear is not a din in Masayim Zuz Mamish. That's what the Meshech Chachma may imply. But rather, it's really based on society, what it takes you to get by for a year. So in certain societies, it could be more, in certain societies, it could be less. But many of the poskim at least speak about it as far as Masayim Zuz. Let's keep on going with some basic halachas for us is considered to be an ani. Masayim Zuz Vipastas, the Rosh points out, this is the standard approach of most Rishonim, is for each individual. It's for each individual. Let's say I have 5 members of my family. So how much am I allowed to take? How much am I allowed to take? So the Mishnah Rishona in Maseches Peah there says, well, each person, so what does each person have Masayim Zuz? So if I don't have Masayim Zuz, and you don't have Masayim Zuz, and you don't have Masayim Zuz, and you don't have Masayim Zuz, we're all considered to be poor, and each person, really, you could take for each person. Rav Eliashiv questioned that, they say halacha lemaisa, as did some others, because when you have a family, you don't really need each person to be considered wealthy to have independently Masayim, Zuz. One person on their own needs Masayim Zuz to be wealthy. When you have a family, it could be you can get by on less, because you only really need, as an example, how much does a family of 5 need? Family of 5 needs 1,000 Zuz, or maybe a family of 5 is considered to be a shirim even if they only have 700 Zuz. Why? We only need 1 microwave. We only need 1 house for rent. So one shayla is going to be as follows. When we say, if you have Masayim Zuz, you're considered to be rich, let's say I have a family of 5, and there isn't Masayim Zuz for each person. Does that mean that we're really all considered to be aniyim? Or it's really about what you need to get by. So even if you only have 700 Zuz for the 5 people, but that's enough for everyone to really get by comfortably, because you don't need the independent 200 Zuz, then maybe on some level that would be, okay. Let's chaz what we saw so far, then we'll just pause for a question or two, especially with the last point, which I mentioned, which I think was not sufficiently clear. In order to be considered poor, you have to have Masayim Zuz. If you have Masayim Zuz, sorry, less than Masayim Zuz. You have Masayim Zuz, you're considered to be wealthy. Din Doraisa, Din Derabanan, that's L'chorah's a machlokas, but Pashtos a Din Derabanan. What is Masayim Zuz? Masayim Zuz is the amount that you need to be able to get by for 1 year. That's called Masayim Zuz. But you need to get by for 1 year. We spoke about when we calculate for a family, are they considered to be wealthy or not? Maybe it's not, is there Masayim Zuz for each person? But maybe once you deal with larger numbers, not each person needs independently Masayim Zuz for the family to be considered wealthy. Generally speaking, how are we so far? 1, 2, and... Yeah.
Isn't that like Asim Derech L'Shirin? How would you define that?
However you define it, that's the question. For the Rashbash, the same question also. Meaning, when we say it's not the Derech L'Shirin, like the Gemara Kedushin Daf Yadav, whatever it is, and when we don't say it, it's a little bit of a question. We have lots of things that are based on, you know, individual Lukim. I'm going to figure out how that applies.
Saying by 200 Zuz in general, that if someone can make it work with 200 Zuz...
That's part of the Shaila. Pashtus, no, I think part of the Shaila, yeah. Yeah.
Does that mean per person or also?
Probably. He's been per person. He doesn't answer. What? How would he cut it out for that? But I would think with over, he'd mean per person. I would think. If it's really a remez in the pasuk, Masayim Zuz. That's what I would think. Okay. Let's go to step. Next step. There are a variety of halachas based on whether a person is considered to be an ani or not. We'll note three. One area of halacha are the matnos aniyim. Leket shechapeya meiser ani. Who's considered to be an ani for those halachas? The second area of halacha that is impacted by whether you're an ani or not, and that's the din of tzedakah. It's a din of tzedakah. An ani is allowed to take tzedakah, not an ani not. The previous Mishnah on Meseches Peyim speaks about when you take from the kupa, from the tamchoy. Those of us learning Arve Psachim are familiar with this as far as when you can take from the tamchoy for Arve Kosos. But you're an ani is a halacha and halacha tzedakah also. There's a third context where it matters if you're considered to be an ani or not, and that has to do with karbanos. Many of us may be familiar, it comes up in Erechon a little bit, that was last Kayetzman, but it comes up as far as a karban ola viyori. There are certain karbanos that what you offer for that karban is based on how wealthy you are. A wealthier person offers fancy karbanos, and a poorer person offers less fancy karbanos. Chazal tells in that context, Echad hamar bev echad hamamet, uvavachi chavin libo l'shamayim, their bonus shalom is very much machshav, their karbanos. Of an ani also, but we have the definition of ani in different contexts. In a question that many of the Rishonim and Achronim struggle with is the following question. Is there one definition of ani? Meaning, the Mishnah and Peya told us that for the Matnos Aniyim, the question is, do you have Ma'asayim Zuz or not? Well, is that the same shear for Hilchos Tzedakah? Meaning, if I have Ma'asayim Zuz, I'm not allowed to collect Tzedakah Matnos Aniyim? And if I have Masayim Zuz, I'm chayiv in offering the fancier karban. Or maybe the definition of ani, and we'll see a more fancy way of saying it, or these halachas have different definitions. Matnos aniyim has Masayim Zuz, that's what's called a wealthy person. But maybe tzedakah has different criteria. And maybe karbanos have different criteria. So part of the question to figure out, when we speak about like ani, is there one definition of ani in all contexts in halacha, or is halacha mechalik between different contexts? We know for leket shechapeya meiser ani, if you have less than ma'asayim zuz, you can collect, if not, not. I should have pointed out initially, the shear of ma'asayim zuz is assuming that you don't have, you're not actually investing the money, it's money that you happen to own. If you're investing money, even if I have less zuz, but I have enough that I'm making profit, could be that the shear would not be Masayim Zuz. But what do we say about other areas of halacha? So, in regards to karbanos, there's a chazanish in Meseches Negayim, or Hosh Negayim, Yud Gimel. This is the first time we're ever going to hear a chazanish in Negayim, so, you know, Shachianu. Chazanish points out, based on the Rambam and Hilchos Shgagos, that he thinks the shear for karban ola viyoreid is not based on Masayim Zuz. That's not based on Masayim Zuz. What's that based on? Can you afford an animal or not? That's how it's described in Rambam. That's the question. If you can afford an animal, so you're called an Ashir, and you have to bring an animal. If I can't afford it, then I'm not required to. But for the Chazanish, the Shear of Masayim Zuz undoubtedly applies to Leket Shechapeya Meiser Ani, but for Karbanos, that may be a question, can you afford it or not? No, but the animals cost, the average cow cost $250. So you have $250 or you don't have $250. I have the money, I'll spend it on that. What? Over liquid, I think. So that's a question. I mean, the Ramah in general tells us that for mitzvahs aseh, you only have to spend the fifth of your money. What would be the halacha for this? Is it go even more than the fifth or not? I'm not sure. It sounds in Chaznish, if you look there, ani mikri she'ein lo behema. The Eino Tali Bedin Ani Shemutter Baleket. So I'm not sure exactly how far we would go for that. Okay. What about tzedakah? Yeah, sure. That's how your mind gets stuff. What about tzedakah? Is tzedakah based on Ma'asayim Zuz, or is tzedakah not based on Ma'asayim Zuz? So let's point out the following. That appears to be a Machlokas HaRishonim, quoted in the Or Zeruah on Hilchos Tzedakah in Siman Yudalev. It's quoted in the Mordechai in Masechet Bava Basra. It's quoted in the Torah in the Beis Yosef. Goes all the way down halacha lemaisa and shulchan aruch. Who's allowed to cut tzedakah? Who's not allowed to cut tzedakah? Machlokes harishonim. Some Rishonim maintain, this is the opinion on some level of the Orzaru on how we paskin lemaisa, that the shear of Ma'asayim Zuz applies to Tzedakah also. The shear of Ma'asayim Zuz applies to Tzedakah also. At least in theory. Some posts can point out it may not apply Bizman Hazad. If you look in the Torah, it may not apply Bizman Hazad the same way because we can't count on next year what's going to happen. Next year, the svara behind Ma'asayim Zuz was that I'll get what I need for this year. Next year, I'll get new Ma'asayim. Now, they're not so pashut. But fundamentally says the Orzaruah, the din of Ma'asayim Zuz is going to apply here also. That's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch. If a person has Ma'asayim Zuz, so maybe it's not appropriate for them to collect tzedakah. Person doesn't, so maybe they could. Now, again, we don't assume that Bizman Hazeb. Bizman Hazeb were more makel as far as who can take tzedakah. Rabbeinu Ephraim is quoted in the Orzaruah, quoted in the Mordechai and Baba Basra. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, the din of Ma'asayim Zuz, that's called ani, that's called wealthy. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's only a din. In Hilchos, Manos Aniyim, Leket Shitha Peya, Meiser Ani. But Tzedakah has a different definition. Tzedakah has a different definition. Tzedakah is De Machzero, whatever you need. Chazal teaches people are used to living a certain wealthy kind of lifestyle. So Tzedakah is to continue to provide them at their particular lifestyle. That's the din. What's the machlokas about? What's the machlokas about? As to whether tzedakah also follows Ma'asayim Zuz. Is that the same definition like a shechapeyar, or does it have a different definition? So we'll note as follows. If I hold that the shear of Ma'asayim Zuz applies to both, it applies to both tzedakah and like a shechapeyar, so then, l'chora, I'm holding. The Achron speak about this at length. Rabbi Yalev in the Chidushi Rabbi Yalev in Chelek Aleph has discussion about this. The other place you find this in, as I was quoted, it's a good Maramako. It's a journal called Yeshurin. The journal Yeshurin is a very important Torah journal. Upper side is where the editor in chief of Gottesman, is that where he is? I don't know. But they put out the Rav Yosef Dov Salvechik, or Beryl Salvechik, the Brisker Rav's son, his Shiur Meseches Peya. The second chalik of those are in Krach Yud Dalet, the journal Yeshurin. So Rav Beryl Salvechik, as well as Rav Arye Leib, the Achronim say some of what we're going to say right now. We'll say it a little bit differently, but the same similar chakira. The first mahalach to argue as follows. Tzedakah has the same definition as Lekat Shechan Peya. How come? Because what is the definition of Ma'asayim Zuz? The definition of Ma'asayim Zuz, as Rashi implies in Baba Kama, is the definition of Ashir and Ani. The definition of Ashir and Ani. And Tzedakah is also based on a Chalos Shem Ani. That's called a poor person. So as long as Ma'asayim Zuz, the same Shir for both. But why would I argue that Tzedakah is going to have a different shear? Why would I argue like Rabbeinu Ephraim? Why would I argue that even if Leket Shechan Peya, it's enough, once you have Ma'asayim Zuz, you're considered to be rich? But for Hilchos Tzedakah, you're still allowed to collect. Why would Tzedakah be different? So here there are two ways of suggesting it. One way of suggesting it is to argue as follows. Leket Shechan Peya are called Matnos Aniyim. Those halachas are based on who is called in Ani. However, argues Rabbeinu Ephraim, tzedakah is not based on who is called in Ani. Money to poor people. Tzedakah is about providing the needs of whoever that person happens to be. So theoretically, in the Sefer HaChinuch even sounds like this, you could have a person that is financially, on some level, considered to be wealthy, but there's still a requirement of tzedakah. Because manos aniyim are based on the chalos shem ani, but tzedakah is not. Tzedakah is based on what are the needs of the person, and therefore, if a person's used to living a fancier lifestyle, I have to support him and to give him a fancier lifestyle. That's what I have to make sure he's going to be able to get. There may be a different definition and a different way of going, and that's to argue as follows. Maybe tzedakah is also about being an ani, as is matnos aniyim about being an ani. But, and here's the way some Achronim explain it, it's a little bit fancier. The definition of ani for leket shechan peyer for matnos aniyim is different the definition of ani for hilchos tzedakah. Why? Why would there be a different definition of ani? So we know from Chumash in regards to karbanos even, in those other contexts, there are always different levels of people who are poor. Who can take from the tamchoy and who can take from the kupa? Matanos le'evyonim. An evyon, maybe someone who's even more destitute than a regular ani. We know in general that there may be different definitions of ani. Why would we be more machmir? How come for leket shech and peya we would tell you, whoa, you have masayim zuz, you can't take. But for tzedakah, it could be that we would still give you. So I'll share with you one suggestion Achronim make, which I think is a suggestion that makes a good deal of sense. Matnos aniyim are on some level much more finite. There's going to be one time during the year when you're going to leave leket shech and peya. And all the aniyim are going to be waiting around. It's a specific time, the time that they're harvesting. The aniyim are waiting there. And for manos aniyim, where it's a little bit more finite, Chazal made the decision that they are going to limit that to those who are mamish, poor, akadekach, they don't have ma'asayim zuz. They're people that financially don't have enough money to get through the next year. They have certain limitations. So Chazal said, ani for leket shech and peya is a lower kind of ani. One that doesn't even have those, that level of expenses, that person can take manos aniyim. But we don't want to open up manos aniyim for the guy that's incredibly wealthy, that happens to be going through a difficult time right now, and to give him like a little bit extra money so he can continue to like, you know, spend every Friday morning he likes to go, wherever he likes to go for breakfast, to continue to go to certain fancy places. So that is something which that's something which you're going to be able to. I have egg white omelets often on toasted holy bread, so we're both in the same camp. Now, what you see there is that for leket shech and peya, it's about making sure that even the lower level, we don't offer that in what it takes. When it comes to tzedakah, we could be much more flexible. Because tzedakah isn't as finite. Tzedakah, there are people who are always chayav in the midst of tzedakah. It's not a once-a-year thing. The aniyim, different people can go to different people at different times. Klal Yisrael has enormous resources for that. It's not limited to the peya of a field, the leka and the shikha. Tzedakah, there's a lot more resources there. And therefore, for tzedakah, the definition of who is considered to be an ani, in the midst of tzedakah, so that's where things can get a little bit different. And maybe there we would be somewhat more flexible to even allow an ani who's somewhat more comfortable, but he doesn't have all he needs. For tzedakah, that person's called an ani. Let me chazer what we did more or less this evening. We tried to understand the following. Manos aniyim, we've spoken about a lot of the details of manos aniyim, but who's allowed to collect? Who's really considered to be an ani? So we saw the Mishnah tells us that the inyan leket shech peya, if you own ma'asayim zuz, you're considered to be too rich to take manos aniyim. We spoke about how ma'asayim zuz is the amount that you would need for a year. You're not chayav to sell all of your goods. If you have ma'asayim zuz and liquid cash, that seems to really be the question. A din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan, that may be a machlokas, pashas, a din d'rabbanan. Each member of your family or not, each individual, that we saw is a little bit of a question also. The shear is not dafka ma'asayim zuz. The shear we tend to be more flexible with. That's a tshuva of the Rashbash as far as what people would need in different contexts. What about in other areas of halacha? We know, like a shecha peya, ma'asayim zuz to be wealthy. So Chazanish said, but for carbon olaviyori, the shail is, do you have an animal or not? If I have an animal, so then I'm considered to be wealthy, and I have to bring the animal. If I'm not, I'm poor. I don't have to. Especially how much you have at the chaznis based around the chashkagos. What about tzedakah? That's a machlokas or zaruah ben Ephraim. We pass it like the or zaruah, and we on some level have a shear of ma'asayim zuz. Also for hilchos tzedakah, albeit not bezman hazeh for side reasons. That's how we go. We spoke about how part of the question would be: do we have different definitions of ani in different areas of Torah, or maybe tzedakah is not really based on ani altogether? That's what Beryl Salvechik has. That's what Rari Leib has. And maybe tzedakah is not based on ani. Tzedakah is just based on providing a person what they need. What I think is important, and maybe we'll just end by sharing this observation. The Torah is very sensitive and tries to do a very good job making sure that those of us that are struggling are going to be able to be taken care of. And what is clear in Chumash and in Chazal, which I think is very, very powerful, is that they were very good at setting up a system to make sure, to, on the one hand, make sure all people can live at the level they're accustomed to live at. That's the mitzvah of tzedakah at its core. But we also want to make sure that we prioritize on some level, making sure that those who are potentially really destitute, that won't be able to get by at all, that we're going to give them the matnos aniyim. We're going to give them certain things to make sure they're really going to be able to be covered. We should be zocha to, as we learn from these halachas of manos aniyim, to appreciate the reality of life. That there are people who always have ups and downs, the galgal hachazer, the Gemara describes it as, and that it's important that people have the capacity to give, to be in habits of being able to give, and those that are in a position where they feel like they have to receive, that when they are blessed with the capacity to give, to be able to give in a very, very meaningful way. Shkari, guys, have a wonderful night.